Well, this morning we're going to start a new series on the idea of rest. And this came to me because I'm tired. I always try to think what to start off with after camp, or you know, you want to maybe get a bump if you can encourage families to come out and to join, and you want to share with them the gospel and have it be something that impacts our lives. And this idea of rest, it'll do that. God's rest is a theme throughout Scripture. It's a theme that carries through the Israelites and the Exodus and going into the Promised Land. It's a theme that continues on through the Babylonian captivity and even into the Gospels and into the epistles of God's rest. We're going to look this morning at Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and the rest of God's work. We often look at the first chapter of Genesis, and then we have the 6 days of creation where God created light and where He created the sky and the seas, and He created the dry land by gathering the seas together. And then He created the sun and the moon and the stars to give us light and during the day and during the night. He created the sea animals and the birds of the air on the fifth day. And then the sixth day, He created land animals and humans. And then we get to chapter 2. And it's debated whether or not chapter 2 should start where it does, or if it should start maybe in verse 4. Because to a certain extent, what we're about to look at is a continuation of the first chapter, those first 6 days. But maybe having the chapter break here is right, because this is something separate and different from the other 6 days. So you can decide whether or not this chapter break is correct as we continue on. Let's look at the verses, though, of Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. One of the things that points out the importance of this day is the repetition. After all that God had created, it says, after He had done all these things, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day of all His work that He had done. God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work. Rested is repeated, and the seventh day is repeated, and His work is repeated. All His works is repeated over and over again to show that this is important. And what we're looking at here is that God created rest. He created the light. He created the sky, He created the land, He created the sun and the moon and the stars, He created all the animals of the air and the sea and the land. But that isn't all that He created. He created rest as well. And He created on the seventh day. He created it by not doing. He created it by taking it for Himself. Now, what do we mean by this idea of rest? Right? Does it mean that God relaxed, that He recovered? Was He winded and worn out like many of us were Thursday night, to the point where we were sitting there saying, we need some rest? Maybe today you're feeling tired and you got a whole week ahead of you and you're thinking, I really need to rest. Is that what God did? In this instance, rest does not mean that. It's not like God just sat back and relaxed and watched some football, right? God doesn't just take time off. God is constantly working. Psalms 121 verse 4 tells us God does not sleep. You know, we need to rest. We need to kick back and do nothing at times. In fact, in Deuteronomy 5:14, the Israelites were told that they needed to rest so that their animals could lay down and rest. But the word rest here doesn't mean that. The word rest here means to cease from labor. So there's we have the idea that we need to rest because we're worn out. We lack energy to continue. That's not what God did. To rest means to cease. To cease from our labor. To cease from our work. Notice how often in verses 2 and 3 we're told that he had done his work. God finished his work that he had done. He rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. On and on and on, it repeats this idea that he had done the work, and so he ceased working. He rested. And that's what this really means. It's to cease work. When God instituted the Sabbath for the Israelites, it wasn't just the idea that they needed rest, that their bodies needed rest. It's not based on how tired we are. It's based on the idea of actively ceasing. If you've ever created anything, you know that at some point you have to say enough. You can keep tweaking and tweaking and tweaking. Eventually, you have to stop and say enough. Whether it's a weekly plan, whether it's a menu, whether it's cooking, it doesn't matter. At some point, you've got to say enough. And that's one of the hardest lessons to learn, isn't it? We want to put all the ingredients in. You know, if a teaspoon of nutmeg is good, why not a tablespoon of nutmeg? And we want to just add in and we want to keep going. And at some point, we've got to say, I'm done. Not in the, I'm throwing my hands up in the air, I'm walking away. But no, it can wait. I've done it. It can wait for tomorrow. Or I've done it. It can wait for next week. To rest in this sense, and especially what the Israelites were being called to do, is not merely to recover our energy. It's a sign of faith in God. You know, when you have businesses like Chick-fil-A or Hobby Lobby and they don't open their doors on Sunday, that's not because they can't fill them with employees. You can fill those days with employees who aren't going to be in church on Sunday. And you can fill those days with employees who are fully rested, maybe took Friday and Saturday off. That is not what it is about. It's about proclaiming we can cease our work today. We will not work today. And tomorrow when we pick up our work, we will be okay. That's what it is. If you have ever been in a situation where you just feel like you have to keep working, and who hasn't been in that position at some point? God's answer is no, we have to stop working at some point to cease our labor, to trust in Him. Even God ceased His labor, but God still worked on that day. We're told that God does not sleep, as I already mentioned. He doesn't rest. He's constantly working. Jesus, even when Jesus healed a person and the scribes and the Pharisees were angry at Him for healing, He said, hey, my Father works today. I can work today. He constantly works. Even His priests in the temple, they're working. I can work. God still worked that day. He was still keeping the world going. But He ceased the creation work. In fact, as you look at Genesis chapter 1, you notice a common refrain keeps picking up. God says at the very end, not God, but Moses, the writer of Genesis, there was evening and there was morning. There was evening, there was morning the first day. There was evening, there was morning the second day. There was evening, there was morning the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. You notice in these three verses, there's no evening, morning, a seventh day. It's just, so God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. So God's rest, what we can know about God's rest, based on the difference between the other days and this day is, first off, He completed the work of creation, but also His rest is eternal. There is no time frame given for it. There was a time when God stopped creating light. There was a time when He stopped creating man and woman. He knows us. He forms us and He knits us together in our mother's womb. But He's not gathering dirt and molding it and fashioning it into a man and making it. And men, when it's time for us to get married, he doesn't cause us to go to sleep and take out of our side and make a woman. He did that once. He's done. He finished it. And yet his rest continues. He rested from, he ceased from creation. He works in other ways, but he has ceased that work. That work, that rest continues. One of the things we can know is that his rest is eternal. It's continual. In fact, the invitation throughout all of the Jewish history is that they would enter into God's rest. That he has rest that's available, that's offered, and that we should enter into it. What we can also know about God's rest, based on what God's rest is in our own lives that our work should cease. At some point, you should stop doing something. And this isn't just for adults, this is for kids too. You know, you're playing. At some point, the play has got to end, and then it's time to clean up. And if you start cleaning up, eventually your stuff will be clean, and then that work can cease too. And you can rest from cleaning up. It's a wonderful thing if you think about it. Remember, if you're an adult, remember back. But as a kid, you know the last thing you want to do is clean, right? We don't want to clean up our stuff. I guess I'm somewhat still a kid today because my desk is a mess and my workbench at home is a mess. Just about any space that I'm given becomes a mess because I don't like to clean. They grow. And then eventually, at some point, I've got to clean it up because I can't find my tools or I can't find a book, and so it's got to be cleaned up. Right now on my desk, there's inflatable balloons, balloon-twisting balloons all over the place. There's T-shirts all over my room, the wrong T-shirts, but they're there. All the stuff from camp, and eventually I've got to clean it up. And one of the worst things that we can do to ourselves is not clean fully. Because then what's that work doing? That work of cleaning up our toys is always hanging over our heads. It's always sitting there. If we just push it out of the way, it's still there. What a joy it is when you do a work, you do a job, and you finish it, and you can walk away from it knowing that it's over. It's ceased. And this is something that God gives us the opportunity to do, that our work should cease at some point. We don't have to continually do it indefinitely. His rest is eternal, but our work does not have to be. I said that his rest is a common theme throughout Scripture and that his rest is available to us. And this is the great news. Not just that we are given a model to rest in our own lives, to take a break, to cease from our labors, but that he offers us rest. He offered it to the Jewish people, and some of them walked into it, others could not. But he offers it to us today. You think about this work of being finished. Just as God rested on the seventh day and there was no evening and morning type of formula, you know, when you think about God's rest and you think about how he offers it to us through Jesus Christ, Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished." In the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews talks about how in the Jewish temple, they always were constantly offering sacrifices. Morning and night, daily, constantly offering sacrifices. They were offering sacrifices on behalf of the nation. Then individual people would come up and they would offer sacrifices. And those sacrifices had to be offered continually. Every firstborn son that was the firstborn for a woman had to have a sacrifice offered on his behalf like Jesus did. Constantly offering sacrifices. But Jesus died once. Jesus died once and rose once and doesn't have to die again and doesn't have to rise again. It is finished. You could say Jesus has rested from the work of sacrificing himself for us. He did it. It's over. He ceased from it. He's resting from it. Now he is sitting at the right hand of God, his Father, and he makes available to us rest, God's rest. Not the idea that we can stop working. Not the idea that tough times won't come into our lives. But all the striving in our lives, trying to be good, trying to be better, trying to be righteous, trying to be holy. All those things that we fail at. Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. He offers us rest in his sacrifice. He gives us the opportunity to cease our striving, to know that God is God, and that Jesus is God. And if you're here today and you're struggling, and you're worn out, there are some possibilities. It's possible it might be time for you to cease some labor. Maybe it's already done. It can be a hard thing to realize I'm done with a certain job that God gave me. Sometimes we can think we're supposed to do a job all the way through, right? Maybe we just had a portion of it. Like the old riverboat captains in Mark Twain's time, where they would only know a section of the river. And once they were done piloting their boat down that section, they gave it off to the next pilot, because they only knew a section of it. Maybe we've only got a section of the work, and it's something that we have to cease doing and let somebody else take. Maybe we just need to trust in God, rest in Him. We're going to look over the next few weeks at some of the struggles we have in entering God's rest, some of the struggles throughout history, the desire for rest in our lives. But it starts here when God created rest. It's the rest of God's work. He rested from the work of creation. He continues to work. Jesus has rested from the work of sacrifice, but He continues to work. He continues to work in our lives, to call us to Him, to have us follow Him, and our call to one another and to you today is to follow Jesus Christ, to know His rest. It's a glorious thing to have all the cares and all the worries of your life ahead of you, and they don't go away, but in faith we get to say, He's got this. I don't need to worry about it. And to rest in Him. That doesn't mean we don't work. That doesn't mean we don't struggle. It doesn't mean we don't strive. But ultimately, the answer is from Him, and He does not fail. Think of all the times Jesus told us that God will feed us, God will take care of us. Don't worry about what you eat, don't worry about what you wear. Look at the birds, God takes good care of them. You're more valuable than they are. Don't you think He'll take care of you? All the time He is calling us to rest in Him. How often do we really do it? Even as believers in Jesus, how often do you really rest in Jesus and trust God that, yeah, He cares for the birds, He'll care for me. He cares for the flower and the grass, and if He can care for those things, He'll care for me. Take Him up on His word. See if He isn't honest and true. He has finished the work of creation. He has finished the work of salvation. All that remains is for us to enter into that rest. And He offers it to us today through Jesus Christ. Will you enter today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace in our lives. We thank You that You do give us rest. That it's not always a physical relaxation. Sometimes the rest You give us is in the midst of our strain. You give us the opportunity to rest in You that we can pursue and continue through the work that we have ahead of us. That You renew us. You restore our souls. You help us to continue. We can join with others who have said we mount up with wings like eagles. Lord, we pray that You would give us the renewal we need in our lives today. If we are struggling with labor and work and cares of this world, we pray that we would enter into Your rest, trusting in You, hoping in You, hoping in Your Son, Jesus. We pray, Lord, that if we are beset with struggles of sin and trying to be righteous in our own ways, we pray that we would let go and give up trying to do it on our own and trust in Jesus today. We pray, Lord, that as an act of faith, today we would cease from our labors to serve you, to work for you, to worship you, and to rest in you, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.